In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
At this time of year, the bishop's office sends out a packet of materials for convention that will happen in October. For instance, it tells us where the opening Eucharist will be. It will happen to be this year at Church of the Redeemer in Sarasota, my old parish. Where the meeting's going to be. The meeting this year will be a Zoom meeting, so we didn't have to find out what hotels are available or what meals we needed to plan and so on. And there's a whole page of rules. How resolutions are made, how discussion takes place, who may vote, what's done in the case of there not being an election on the first ballot, and so on. It's a legislative body, and so things need to be spelled out so that everybody is on the same page. The rules are essential in order to conduct business. Whenever groups of people get together, formal or informal, there are rules. Sometimes they're written down. In some groups, you simply do not talk about certain topics. It's an unwritten rule, but a rule everyone knows. A neighborhood group gets together from time to time with a mix of Democrats and Republicans. Politics is just something you don't talk about. They tried it once and it wasn't a good experience, so they haven't tried it again. It's not written down, but everybody knows the rule. The children in our community just started school. I'll bet that in every classroom, the teacher laid down the rules on the first day of class. Often bodies of rules are flexible. As people meet together, something negative happens, and it's decided that could have been prevented had there been a rule, so they make a rule. And in case that ever happens again, of course it won't happen again, something else will happen, and they'll make another rule. The church has rules. Many of those rules are called canons. There's a canon, a church law. It happens to be Title II, Canon 1, that states, all persons within this church, that is the Episcopal Church, shall celebrate and keep the Lord's Day, commonly called Sunday, by regular participation in the public worship of the church, by hearing the word of God read and taught, and by other acts of devotion and works of charity, using all godly and sober conversation. Now, dispensation from that rule was given to all churches during the height of the pandemic. And now as we come out of the pandemic, hopefully we're coming out of the pandemic, that dispensation is going away. And as people can decide they can come back in a safe way for their own, given their own health needs, they are supposed to come back. It's not the rule that we have a dispensation from that rule. The Ten Commandments are rules with a capital R. Our Lord Jesus summarized all of the commandments of God with two commandments. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, and mind, and thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. The liturgies of the Book of Common Prayer are under the rules of the church. When the Mass is celebrated, these are the texts that are to be used. There are rules within the liturgy. They're called rubrics, and they're in italics. which we must follow. We're required to follow them. In fact, you might be interested to know that if the rubrics aren't followed, your rector can be brought up on charges before the bishop. I'm not aware of that having been done lately, but it's in the rules. Some people are more concerned about rules than others. That's always been the case. The Pharisees were a sect within Judaism that believed that following the rules set down in the Torah, the first five books of the Old Testament, what we call the Old Testament, should be done to the letter. That was no easy task, because there are 613 laws in the Torah. Just to know them is a huge challenge. The Pharisees believed that Israel, being ruled by foreign empires over the last several hundred years before Christ, was a result of Israel not keeping the commandments of God. They also believed that if they could follow the commandments to the letter in every situation, that Israel would be restored as a sovereign nation through God's sending of a Messiah. In fact, the whole messianic hope was developed by the Pharisees. That's why they were so interested in Jesus. Why every crowd that gathered to hear our Lord Jesus had a liberal contingent of Pharisees. For the Pharisees thought, some of the Pharisees, thought that Jesus actually could be the Messiah. That's also why they were so concerned when Jesus' disciples appeared to be breaking some of the rules. Now let's be clear, Jesus' disciples weren't breaking the commandments when they didn't wash their hands. They were breaking the Pharisees' interpretation of the commandments. The Pharisees had a huge body of rules which were outside of Scripture on how to follow the law in every circumstance. Lawyers in this room, and there are several, understand probably exactly what the Pharisees were doing. For instance, one of those particular rules exempted people from helping their parents when in need if the money they could have spent on helping their parents was given to the temple. Now, Jesus didn't like that rule. In fact, he said that it was a breaking of one of the Ten Commandments. Honor thy father and thy mother. He said, quoting Isaiah, this people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men. In other words, the Pharisees were majoring in the minors, straining at gnats and swallowing camels. They were so concerned about the outward practice of religion that they completely lost sight of the purpose of the faith, the changing of the human heart. Every child, every man, every woman is inclined to look at life from a self-centered point of view. How can I get what I want? How can I get what I need? Just because we're religious doesn't change that inclination. In fact, sometimes it makes it more difficult to discern if we think God is actually directing us to the fulfillment of our own selfish ends. A businessman notorious for his ruthlessness, announced to Mark Twain one day, "Before I die, I mean to make a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. And when I get there, I'm going to climb up to the top of Mount Sinai, and I'm going to read the Ten Commandments at the top." "I have a better idea," said Mark Twain. "You could stay at home in Boston and keep them." This man thought he was religious, but his religion didn't have any effect on how he conducted his business. Our faith hopefully makes us aware of our inclination to self-centeredness and helps us to overcome it. In fact, I think, I don't know if you noticed it, but every reading this morning, the psalm, the hymn, everything went beautifully together thematically. And it was about keeping the commandments of God and changing the human heart. Really great lesson that we have been taught by God today through this liturgy. But beware. The minute we think we've got it down is the minute we may be blinded the most to our own motives. The irony is that we can see hypocrisy clearly in another person and miss it in ourselves. Jesus makes it clear that what we need is a heart devoted to the love of God and neighbor. You and I are here because we need to hear that message over and over again. That devotion doesn't come naturally, but only by the grace of God. As the collect for today states, and by the way, the collect is the prayer at the beginning of the liturgy that we are required to use at the Sunday liturgy. As this collect says, "May God graft in our hearts the love of his name, increase in us true religion, nourish us with all goodness, and bring forth in us the fruit of good works." Amen.